For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And it goes vice versa.
Do you think Mexico fans are going to be rooting for the U.S.?
Hell no.
Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, the beautiful game of life, part of the Believe Network. I'm Ramsey Abushala, editor of UrbanPitch.com. To my left, executive director of Vibes for the Day, Julio Monteroso. What's going on?
AKA Joe Dirtbag.
Yeah, he's got the young mullet coming out. That lettuce is looking nice.
I'm telling you, man.
You've been growing it out for a minute.
And it's been about a year, yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Can't complain. We had a golf tournament yesterday. We could have done better. I feel like we got cheated, but whatever.
I don't know if we got cheated.
No, we got cheated.
We played. I feel like
we played ourselves a little bit.
I really don't think so. I think you're selling ourselves a little bit short. I thought we did pretty well. I thought, all things considered, you know, me, Julio, Roy, and Danny. You know, 6 under for a 4-man scramble. That's a pretty good score. It's not. It wasn't good enough to win. It probably won't be good enough to win in most 4-man scramble tournaments. But I feel like, you know, maybe we left a couple strokes out there on the course.
Definitely. There was a few. No, but like you said, you put it greatly when you said we were flirting with disaster all game.
Yeah, and we recovered. We recovered for some, and one of them we weren't able to. So,
but like, yeah, I feel like out of the 18 holes, we probably were flirting with disaster on about 6 or 7.
Maybe I would say like five. Yeah. Five. We saved 4 pars, and then we got one. We weren't able to. We had a bogey. It was the sole flaw on the scorecard. You know, but we made 7 birdies. You know, like that. That's not a bad round. Next year we gotta take it. We gotta take it next year. Yeah, church. Yeah. It was a church tournament.
It was a church league. Yeah, we gotta win these church leagues.
Yeah, we gotta win these church leagues. They don't mess around with their golf in church. But I feel like we've been opening with golf for like almost every solo episode that we've had.
It's a small transition we're gonna do later on.
Yeah, yeah,
urban
right.
Pitch.
Yeah, this is slowly gonna become a
urban
golf podcast.
Course.
Yeah, yeah, urban.
Yeah. No, but yeah, man, there's a lot of soccer going on. So let's get
a
into
lot
it,
of
man.
Soccer going on. First, let's go into the U.S. men's national team. Obviously, Copa America starting in a couple
weeks.
Soon, yeah. less than that, and you know, the U.S. coming off of a pair of friendlies, tune-ups against CONMEBOL teams to prepare for the Copa America. The first one, let's talk about the first one first, because the second one, I think, took a step in the right direction, but the first one was a bit of a disaster. Obviously, the 5-1 loss to Colombia. Not what a lot of people thought, because this is like Colombia and Brazil, those are two, like, we're on the same side of the bracket. So if we make it out of our group, and chances are Colombia and Brazil are going to make it out of their group, we're going to play them either in the quarterfinals or the semifinals. So these are pretty important games to, like, in terms of like what we are looking to do. What did you think about the overall performance? Let's talk about Colombia first.
Colombia, yeah, I feel like the Lakers, USA, I don't know why I should have said the Lakers. USA came in flat-footed, and Colombia punished them. Like, you're all right. So the thing about the U.S., like, you're in CONCACAF, you can do that with these lower level teams. You can come a little flat-footed, and then work your way into the game. And playing with South American team, no. Like, and they learned their lesson. Like, you come in flat-footed, two goals in 20 right. minutes, you're gonna go in. It doesn't matter what you do; it's just gonna happen. Just because that those teams are talented. Some of these CONCACAF teams are like, they lack talent, to be completely honest. But these guys are playing at a high level. The U.S. has the roster that the U.S. has can't compete. Like, most of the players you see across from these South American teams, players you play against in your domestic leagues, Italy, Spain, like all these leagues where the U.S. players at. So the defense came a little flat-footed, and it surprised me because Richards and Reem are probably, and Anthony Robinson, Scully on the other side. We are busy Serginho Dest. There was a report saying that on that left back side, we have a one, and then we at best we have a three or four. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have no solid two yet for that side.
Yeah.
And I feel like the first goal came through that left side mm-hmm. against Colombia. So we do have a solid team. I think we just came out flat footed, thinking they were gonna come in. It's a friendly game. They're gonna take it nice. And now you come in slow, we're gonna spank you.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
Yeah, they got punched in the mouth to start things off. It was, but like 5-1, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. You're not competitive.
No, not at all.
You're not being competitive if you're losing 5-1. And you know, a lot of the criticism after that loss went straight to Greg Berhalter. And while I do think that there's a lot of criticism that is fair towards him, and there's a lot of criticism that you can put on him, and a lot of what people were saying I thought made sense. The thing about that, though, and we've had this conversation in the past, to go straight after Berhalter, like 5-1, like, sure, he was not playing, and they were playing constantly playing out of the back, which caused a lot of chaos. You know, a lot of stress was put onto our team because we insist on playing out of the back. And that's ostensibly that's coming from Greg. That's the game plan that Greg wants to put. And the biggest criticism about him is that he's very rigid. He plays the same way against Colombia as the same way he's going to play against the Netherlands, as the same way he's going to play against Mexico. No matter who the opponent is, it's the same style of play. We don't adapt and we don't make adjustments mid game. And the adjustments that we do make tend to not work, like that second half against Wales in the opening game at the World Cup. So that stuff is very fair. But when you take a look at the game, 5-1, a coach can only put the coach's number one job, right, is to put you in the best position to succeed. And Greg Berhalter, did he do that? Maybe not. Let's just say he didn't, for argument's sake. Still, losing 5-1, the blame has to be put onto the players as well. And I think because, you know, Berhalter is a very contentious figure, the way in which he was hired wasn't, you know, the most objective of hiring processes. The fact that he got brought back after the, you know, the whole Reinagate incident. You know, people have been calling for this guy's job for years now. And it seems with every single like misstep the U.S. takes, it's Greg Berhalter. So when I think, like from watching that game, the players just were not, they were not,
yeah.
They looked lackadaisical. They weren't, the intensity wasn't there. Like 5-1, that's on a player. That's on the players. And I think if we're going to hold, you know, if we're going to say Greg Berhalter, this team is too talented, this team is too good for a coach like Berhalter, we need to hold the team to the same standard that we do the coach. And we need to look at the players and say, like, look, guys, we have to expect more from you. Yes, Berhalter has some blame, but also, like, let's look at our players and be more critical of them when they don't step up and perform.
Yeah, and I will agree with you 100% if our players wouldn't be doing good in their teams. McKennie's doing good with Juventus. Palacios is doing good with AC. Wea with Juventus. Like it would be a good argument if these players are coming subpar level, but they're coming at a good level to the national team. And we can't, like I said, all right, Berhalter, sometimes he does, and I've said this argument about him every single time. He does not want to adapt. If he he's gonna go down losing. If it has to be 10-0, he's gonna come out losing from the back. Like he does not pause. Yeah. Like he does not want to change his game plan. And sometimes you have to adapt. Like a lot of these teams, like we can move a little forward. Brazil, like some of these teams are great, a great attacking and flanks. And I feel like with Brazil, he switched it up a little bit, defended a little better. But then again, our players did look dynamic.
That second game, they bounced back. They looked much more dynamic. Yeah. They looked much more, the intensity was there. You know, Tim Weah was playing with a fire. Like I think that second game, they really flipped the switch, which credit to them, they were able to bounce back from that loss, because I was looking to see if from that game, Brazil, which is, I mean, in all, like, I think everybody could agree there's a better team than Colombia.
And then they had, like, people might say they're B team. No, they had Rodrigo and Vinicius on one side.
That's their A team.
Like, and yeah, so, like, and the thing is, like, you want to criticize them, but then they play against Brazil, and they had a few times they came out the back amazing.
And they look great.
They looked amazing. Yeah. And then you're like, all right. Yeah, Berhalter is right. But I just think it was just Kofi not knowing what to expect. First time, like, this national team is playing against a national team that actually can ball out. Like, it ain't CONCACAF no more. And I think it was a punch in the mouth saying, hey.
And that's the challenge of playing in our region.
Yeah.
It's hard to get games against, you know, top-level teams. And the only tournaments that we're going to get that is at the World Cup, is that, you know, getting to participate in tournaments like Copa America. So, like, things like this is very valuable for this team, and that's why I think a lot of people were very looking forward to this tournament to see. Obviously, you know, 2026 is coming up soon, but
I think the sample size shows that this team it can go both ways, which sucks. Like, it could be
they're extremely inconsistent, and they're getting to a point where, you know, they're young, but they're not young enough to where that's an excuse anymore, because, you know, they're getting into that mid-20s range where they're starting to enter their primes. You mentioned, Christian Pulisic had a career year at Milan. Weston McKennie looked great at Juventus. Anthony Robinson was named player of the year for Fulham. Like, he is turning into a really good player. I would like to see, I mean, Luca Della Torre had a great season, and I want to see some, you know, I want to see Tim Weah is a player that I want to see really step up.
Musa, another good player.
Yunus Musa, but also I feel like him and Weah are in the same category where they have levels to go upwards.
Yeah.
And that comes with getting more playing time, finding the right fit. I think Weah has, you know, he's bounced around positions. He was used mostly as a bench role at Juve this year. You know, Chris Richards, I think, is somebody who has a lot of potential, and he's, you know, a starting player with Crystal Palace in the Premier League.
And I like how Ream and him and Anthony Robinson was probably the best one-on-one defender in the EPL.
Statistically, there's a lot of stats that backed up his play. It's hard to quantify but
now
the
big
stats,
teams are looking at him, and like him going forward is amazing. So we do have a great team. I wish Tyler Adams can get his health together, because I think he's the X factor. He brings that emotion. He is that feisty mofo that is going to get in people's faces, that he knows the team is down a little bit. The team is not picking it up, so he would do something for those emotions to go up and the team can play. But I think Palacios is coming to his own. He's becoming a leader. He's setting the tone. Was it against Rodrigo? He hit him like it was a play. We got a yellow card.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he did it just because, like, to the show, like, hey, we here, like, it's a little more intensity, like, let's play.
And then I liked his response to it too. Yeah, it was like, you know, like, my bad, but I'm not gonna bow down to you. Yeah, you know, like, so I'm here to play. And yeah, okay, maybe that was a little bit much, but I'm gonna stand my ground and you know, and really, like, assert that. So I really like that from Pulisic, and obviously the goal was amazing. So he's got to be the leader. He's the guy. But
Reina has been potential. Like, that potential talk with Reina has to stop. Like, show what you are.
Yeah.
He's been bouncing around his teams in Europe. The controversy. All right, we've been hyping this kid up for a while now. Yeah. Like, when does the hype stop? And you prove that you are. Like, you can't show out here this game, that game, that you are good. It has to be a consistent base that you are that guy, because a lot of trust, a lot of drama has came because of your family and you. Now, like, prove to the U.S. why you're that player that everybody talks about of being great.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, I want to go back to the whole Berhalter thing, because, you know, this is – a lot of fans are very passionate. Like, I saw somebody on Twitter said something like, Rick Berhalter needs to die or something like that. Like they're very – yeah, yeah. They're it's wild out there on the social medias. But do you think if, like – number one, is he – let's say worst case scenario, right? We
don't make it out the group stage.
Have a terrible Copa America.
Yeah.
Horrible Copa America. Do you think that U.S. soccer will make the move to get rid of Berhalter?
They have to. Like, how many chances are you going to give this guy? Mm-hmm. First of all, his players love him. And that's always a great thing to have.
I have a theory. I have a theory that the players love him because he gets all the blame.
Yeah.
And that they can lose 5-1 and all the blame is going to be put onto him, and they're not going to look at the players. You know?
Yeah, that's always good.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a theory that I'm just going to throw out there.
Yeah, he's the older brother that gets blamed for everything.
Yeah, right.
No, but I think, like, enough is enough. Like, we gave you a chance. We gave you a World Cup. It was a subpar World Cup. You won a lot of tournaments in the CONCACAF, which is
fine, expected.
Yeah, right. But like now, Copa America, if you don't come out the group stage, probably win one knockout game. Mm-hmm. I think you have to go.
Yeah. So this is what I'm thinking. It's gonna have to take a disaster like that, because what I think is gonna happen is we're gonna make it out the group, depending on if we win it. And depending on what happens in Brazil and Colombia's group, we're going to get Brazil and Colombia in that first round. Let's say we get Brazil. I don't think anybody expects us, at least U.S. soccer. If U.S. soccer, you cannot be like, okay, if Greg Berhalter doesn't win this game, we're going to fire him. I say, this is my prediction of what's going to happen. I think, you know, we have a decent showing in the group stage, make it out of the group, play Brazil in the first round, end up losing, putting up a good fight against Brazil, but end up losing in the quarterfinals. Now, if you're Greg Berhalter, or if you're U.S. soccer, you've like had chances, plenty of chances to find a new coach if you really wanted to. I don't think yeah. So they did a whole search after the World Cup, and they ended up saying, look, you know what, this is the best fit that we have. They're not actively looking forward to getting rid of him. I don't think he's on the hot seat unless the team just completely lays an egg, which I don't think they're gonna do. They might lay an egg like they did in that first game against Colombia and get boat raced out of the group stage. But if they make it out of the group stage, I don't think they're gonna fire Greg Berhalter, and I think they're gonna keep him until the next World Cup cycle, which is gonna be difficult for the fan base, the media, because and the team itself, because it's gonna almost have it be a distraction.
But the media actually does not they love him as well, and then Berhalter is like, the fans hate him, but like everybody.
I feel like the media is pretty critical of him too.
Not as critical, but like I like the meme that they posted with the Michael Jordan, instead of Michael Jordan, they put Berhalter, mm-hmm. and it says on the bottom, "I'm back." There's a lot of mixed emotions, but not like anybody saying he got to go. The people like the Hercules Gomez, all these people, they are critical, but when he does great, they like, yeah, this mm-hmm. this is what if you want a U.S. coach, this is the best we have.
Yeah. And my thing is, and I've said this before, like, let's say Jose Mourinho, because people are coming at me for pronouncing Olivier Giroud's name.
Yeah,
wrong.
Can you believe you said it wrong?
Yeah. All right, let's. But so I'm gonna get.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Jose Mourinho. Yeah. That's the Portuguese way of pronouncing it. Let's say we get him. I really don't think a manager can raise the level of the team that much. I think there's still going to be the same issues. There's still going to be the same inconsistency, because that's been the story with the players on the club stage too. You said you would understand that if the players weren't having good seasons. They have been completely inconsistent, whether it's Gio Reyna, whether it's Pulisic, whether it's McKinney, whether it's Weah. Like, the main cogs on the team, like, you can't say that they've been consistently good at the club level as well.
I disagree. You can have like a Sancho that is dead ass trash with Manchester United, goes back to Borussia Dortmund and like has a great rest of the year. Even Jose Mourinho said it during the Champions League final. There's players that I wish I could have done more for. Like, if as a coach, if I can put them in the right position, they're not going to succeed.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, the coach does have that responsibility to put him in the right position at all times. Mm-hmm. Only because you want to stay true to a scheme, true to a tactic, doesn't mean that you're gonna ruin the player. Like I heard him say, since Sergiño Dest is out, let's put a McKinney or a Weah as a left back. Like, they're gonna be good, but they're not gonna be
at their best.
At their best. Yeah. So if they make silly mistakes, can we get mad at them? Can we, like, McKinney's as a left back has three mistakes, we lose 3-0. Do we have to blame McKinney or do we have to blame Berhalter?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be, he's out of position.
Yeah. No, but even if the team, Timothy Weah, like, so we put him back there. Now we can't go up as dynamically as we want.
Right.
We lose a 1-0.
Yeah.
Knowing that if we put that player up there, we're probably going to get 3-4 chances.
I mean, this is where it lies in. But I think no matter what, they're going to blame Berhalter first. That's just what it's been like. When you look at the fan base, when you look at, like, the team can lay an egg on the field and the blame instantly goes to Berhalter because it's frustrating to watch. And I understand that. But like I said before, the team needs to be held to the same standard as the coaches.
Yeah.
And we can't just say, oh, these guys are so talented. Look how good these players are. Look at the teams they play on. Like, if they don't perform consistently on the national stage, then we have to look at them too, in addition to the coach.
Yeah.
And number two, being a coach on the national team stage is not an easy job. You're only with your team for a very limited times throughout the year, and it's hard to implement a certain style of play that's the very complex. There's not a lot of complex tactics in international
football.
This group has been
with Berhalter
for quite some time,
8 years, and yeah. Like, it's like here or there changes, like but it's not like the core has been there, so it didn't, like, you're not knowing what to expect. You know what scheme gonna use. That even the opponents know how he's gonna play.
Yeah, and that's in one thing. But that's I understand that and I agree with you. But at the same time, not a lot of international teams. Like, you look at Spain. Spain plays a certain way. Everybody knows how Spain plays. You know, the Netherlands. They have a certain way that they play.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how they play too. Like, it's, you cannot have, like, a Liverpool or Manchester City to, like, complex pressing, like, tactics that need to be drilled on and worked on constantly in and out in training. Like, you get 2-3 weeks at a time in camps where you need to work on these things. So you can't have that complex tactic. So, like, the tactical side of things, it's very difficult as a manager. And you look at the managers across the board, there aren't that many world-class managers in international football. Like Brazil's manager is Dorival Jr. Do you know what teams he's managed before? No, he's strictly been in the Brazil Serie A league, which, I mean, no disrespect to that league, that's a very solid league, but it's not like he's this world-class manager that people are like looking after. Like Hansi Flick, who's just got signed into Barcelona. He was with Germany. He was terrible with Germany. They completely hated him. And now he's with Barcelona. Like, it doesn't always equate to a good manager is going to make a very, like, impactful run with the team. It has to be the right fit, and I think they're a little bit unfair to Berhalter. I don't think he's the right fit, but also at the same time, he's done okay. He's fine.
He's on a C+, B-.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing is, like, and it goes back to the delusional U.S. fan that we are. I'm gonna put myself in that mix. We come from not going to a World Cup to potentially having a great squad to go far in the World Cup and then see that. But of course, they were young. So as much as we want to blame Berhalter, like, experience plays a big factor.
Yep.
There was Germany 1 year that they came with a roster, I think it was like averaging 22 years old. The following World Cup, they won it. So we're seeing that the U.S. fan is seeing that our golden generation is getting older.
Right.
When is all this expectations we talk about is going to be shown in the field?
Yeah, because right now we're, what, a top 20 nation?
Yeah, but, like, at this point, like, our players are 24, 25, 26. At this point, they're establishing their clubs already. After this World Cup, it's downhill from here.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like,
so, I know, that's what I'm saying. So right now we're top 20. I think the fans want to get into that top 10 range, which is very difficult. And I think – but I don't know if
we, like, have the potential to do it as
but
well.
But do we have, like, a world-class top-level, like – impact player. Like, Christian Pulisic is our best player. Is he like a top class, world class player that like someone?
But like, I don't think we're looking at it the wrong way. I think we're more like the Dallas Mavericks, that 2011 championship team that we just have a lot of like
solid role,
decent players. So like a lot of above average, not overly extremely above average, but a lot of above average players. So like,
yeah, I mean, you take a look at the Europeans. A lot of these European, like Denmark is like that. You know, Austria is like that.
And those teams make noise.
And those teams do make noise.
Even in Morocco in the World Cup, when
Croatia, like they have Luka Modric, but for the most part, you know, they have like two or three like top level players, and the rest are kind of like these role type players.
Yeah, but even Morocco, like
Morocco as well.
They had a deep run in the World Cup. And like,
but I mean, Ziyech was great. Hakimi is like, I feel like those are two players that are. Yeah,
but
than
like, but other than that, like, they have a lot of a great average, like average players. So, I think we let's not think about it as like we need a Kobe and Shaq,
right.
And then like just solid, like super solid role players. Yeah. I think we're just a lot of above average 2011 like Maverick championship team players.
Yeah,
like just solid players, solid players.
So, what are you looking forward to for this Copa America? How confident are you in this?
All right,
US
so
team?
I think if we get Colombia again, Brazil, if we do beat them, which is not doable. You see how we played against them.
Do you think we'll win our group with Uruguay, and Bolivia, and is it Paraguay? It's not Paraguay. It's someone else.
First of all, Bolivia.
Panama. I think it might be Panama. I think it's Panama.
We definitely should get out the group. Bolivia.
We should get out of the group, but are we going to win it? Are we going to
win it? No. I believe that we got to win one knockout stage game. Brazil, Colombia, bring them either or. I feel like there's a chance. It ain't like we're dead before even playing them. Colombia, we had a little mishap. Brazil has showed. I feel Brazil is way stronger than Colombia. Brazil, I feel like we should have won that game, to be completely honest.
The Brazil game?
Yeah, if it wasn't for Turner giving that goal up on a mistake, which
but Turner also had
a lot of crazy
games as well.
Yeah, but I'm saying that silly mistake cost us the game because we were pressuring way more than them. We had way more chances than them. We were super dynamic, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody was on Super Saiyan mode. So like, I feel like we definitely have a chance.
Yeah.
If I feel like every time we just have one silly mistake,
yeah,
and that silly mistake always cost us. So if we can just play as perfect of a game I think we can win it. But like, to be completely honest, we're human. I think we can win one game in the knockout stage.
That's gonna be we either need to win our group or we need Brazil to mess up in the group stage to get Colombia.
I think we can win our group.
You think? You just said we're not going to.
No, I'm saying, like, think about like beating Uruguay is doable.
Okay.
Which
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. They're super quick.
They're very strong. If you saw what they did to Mexico. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, if they catch us in the counter, like, it could be scary hours. But yeah. I feel like we're a little bit stronger on those defending those counters than Mexico. Bolivia.
Bolivia is a win. That if
it's
we do not,
it's not a definitely win, but like,
but it needs to be a win.
If we play solid, we could easily win.
That's a type 2-0. Of tie. That's a type of tie or loss that will get Berhalter fired.
Yeah, definitely.
So all the Berhalter out people are going to hope that we lose that.
Panama,
game.
Panama's the last one.
Yeah, Panama.
Yeah, that's a definite win.
Yeah.
Shout out to you.
I mean, Panama beat us before.
Sick jersey. No. They have beat us before. They kept us out of a World Cup.
Yeah.
But I feel like that always is that lights a fire in the U.S. Always steps it up a little bit.
Let's
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's switch gears. I think I want to talk about Mexico, because this is a team that is similar to the U.S. in which the fan base is very frustrated with. I think they're not in as good of a place that the U.S. is currently. What are your thoughts on the Mexico situation right now and the confidence heading into the Copa America.
I think the Mexican media is the worst thing that happened to the Mexican national team. They criticize for everything. Like, they think they have a Brazil when it's Mexico. Like, let's be completely honest. Like, you didn't. They think they're a top five nation every year after year. But I think they're caught on the crossroads where old talent is leaving, but the fans and the media want them to stay. But like, the new talent is not getting the chance. Now the new talent is getting the chance. And of course, the lack of experience. This is like 21, 22 years coming into the first time being called up, which I think is a great thing, because something about our home country, our parents' countries, I feel like we exploit talent to like, we did it for so long that now we're fucked, because we don't know who's our next talent, who's our next player. Mm. And there's a lot of great players in the Mexican league. There's a lot of great players, and I finally gained the chance, which they deserve, especially in that goalie position. I feel like Mexico always overly uses their older keepers, Ochoa, El Pony Ruiz, Oswaldo Sanchez. I feel like sometimes you got to give these kids that World Cup, that experience, and it will benefit you on the next World Cup. Yeah.
And I mean, credit to Jaime. Like, he's made those big decisions.
And the Mexican media hates him, and everybody
right.
hates him.
And so, he, like, no Chucky Lozano, no Memo Ochoa, no, you know, and they're looking to kind of build up this newer generation
for the World Cup,
players and for the World Cup in 2026.
And this is a great thing. Like, just, you know, your starting point. Like, of course, I would have probably done it in the CONCACAF like tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, but like, the time is now. You want to win that fifth game, and Mexico has talent. It's like, not act like the reason Mexico is like is not they don't have as much players as the U.S. has in Europe is because the Mexican teams overly price these Mexican players, but they have the same talent as we do. You've seen the MLS against Liga MX, how these teams are smacking the MLS.
Yeah.
They have talent. Their young stars stay in Mexico, which our young stars do not. They go to right. Europe. But they can easily be in Europe, but they don't send out as much players because they are a business and they always are about their money. But I feel like if they will let go a little bit more players at a younger time, the Mexican team will be talked about like you – with the greats, they have beat Italy. I think Tyler beat Italy in the World Cup. With they did a header to go in. Mm-hmm. They always play great against these big teams in the World Cups and like international competitions. But after a while, like they just slowly like go down. And it's because the Mexican media overly judgmental about them. They lost at 4-0
against Uruguay.
Yeah. And then like the Mexican media, should we just fire the coach? They lost 3-2 against Brazil, which
they bounced back in a similar way to the U.S. did.
But they were like, it's still a 3-2 loss. Like,
I know.
You give them a chance. Let that coach process. Because first of all, the coach he had prior to that, we're talking about Bielsa basically lost because he wanted Argentina to win. Like, there's no winning with the Mexican fans and the media.
No, not Bielsa, it was Martino.
Martino. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bielsa. They talked about him a lot.
I wanted Bielsa to come to the U.S., but, you know, I mean, now he's with Uruguay.
I feel like Bielsa was an option for the Mexican national team as well.
He was. I mean, he was out there, and then Uruguay got him. So, I mean.
That press conference he said afterwards, like, hey, if you can come out chilling, we're going to.
Right.
We're going to mess you up.
That was a great press conference.
But I think he was a little mad because he didn't get the job, because I feel like he wanted the job.
But it
was a good little sweet revenge for him.
Yeah. How about U.S. and Mexico fans going into the Copa America? There's obviously a huge, gigantic rivalry between these two nations. And I feel like each preys on the downfall of the other. But come this tournament, right? I feel like it's CONMEBOL versus CONCACAF a little bit. I don't think anybody expects a CONCACAF team to win it or make a deep run. But let's say Mexico makes a deep run as a U.S. men's national team fan. Are you going to be rooting for Mexico to continue the deep run? Let's say they get farther than the U.S. Let's say they win their semi or quarterfinal to get into the semis, and we lose that first game. Are you going to be rooting for Mexico as a CONCACAF fan, or are you being like, nah, F Mexico,
definitely.
U.S., Mexico down all the way?
Oh, definitely. No. Something I learned from my dad is you always go for the home region, and then like if that region is not winning, we go to whoever speaks Spanish. And if the Spanish is out, whoever speaks English. That's what we're going for. So, like, if the U.S., even though I'm Salvadorian, like if Mexico is making it further, of course,
yeah,
I will root for them. Like, even Costa Rica had that deep run in the World
Cup. Yeah. Like, that was amazing. That was awesome.
I was pura vida everywhere. Yeah, so like, if Mexico for the CONCACAF, I will root them on. I do want them. I want another upset like they did with Brazil in '99. Like it's great. It's great because it shows the U.S. like step it up.
Right.
We got to figure it out. And something like U.S. Soccer has done is something. Every time Mexico won upsets, we figure a way to get bounced back. So it just shows that if Mexico can go deep, why can't we? Because we've beaten multiple international competitions. So it goes vice versa. Like,
do you think Mexico fans are going to be rooting for the U.S.?
Hell no. Hell no.
It'll play. If the other goes the other way.
My whole thing is like this international competition we're going to have here, the amount of reckless stuff that the fans say. We're really woke as fans out here. We can't say anything bad. Yeah. They'll stop the game for 2 minutes.
But in Mexico, they're throwing piss
even Mexico, like Argentinians.
Argentina,
like,
they're crazy. Everywhere. It's just a passion.
Yeah, so like, how are we going to deal with that? Because like, there's going to be some stuff that a lot of you are not going to like. The thing's going to be screamed at. The goalies are going to be called whatever.
What about the fact that it seems like every U.S. game, the stadium is like 70-30, 80-20 towards the opposition, whether it's – especially if it's, South America, Central America – with these teams like Brazil, it seemed like it was mostly a Brazil crowd. The Colombia game, it seemed like mostly a Colombian crowd. What do you think about that?
The thing is like some of these. This is a diverse country.
Yeah.
But some like a lot of Central Americans. I'm gonna say a lot of Central Americans. Our soccer sucks, so we have to go as fans of either players or different national teams. Like I know growing up, my family was either Argentinian or Brazilian. Like. That's the national team we'll root for, even though El Salvador was their home country.
Right.
Yeah, but they never made it to a World Cup. So
do you think Americans that are, like, let's say you have a Colombian American or a Brazilian American.
They're going for their parents' countries, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of the Latino community. Like, we even though we're from here, a lot of our, especially if you're first generation, like, your parents still have a lot of the customs. Like, they tell you about their home country. They tell you how it was. Your upbringing is like they were brought in their country, so you have a lot of love for that country that you are, and it's not even it's for European Americans, whatever. Like people that it's just like people just want to root for their parents' country just because that's what their parents showed them growing up, seeing that team, rooting for them, and it was always an event. I know in the house when El Salvador played, it was always an event at my house.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And do you think that it's strictly for soccer, or do you think it transcends to other sports as well? Because, like,
no.
I feel like for soccer, people don't root for, like, let's say you're, Brazilian American, or let's say Argentinian American. So, Argentina is a good basketball team as well. If you're an Argentinian American and the Argentinian soccer team is playing, are you going to be rooting for the Argentinian soccer team because Argentina is obviously much better, much storied, they have a lot more history? Within the game over America, what about versus if it was like the Olympics finals against U.S. and Argentina? Do you think that same person is going to be rooting for the U.S. if they're American or Argentina if they're Argentina?
No, I think it's in every sport though. Like I think if El Salvador goes against the U.S. basketball, knowing that.
But that's different because El Salvador, I don't like.
No, exactly. And we know we're going to get smacked 100-30 or something.
Uh-huh.
We're still going to go for El Salvador. Same thing with Argentinians. They're gonna put up a fight, but we know in basketball, like, if we bring the dream team, get out the way.
Yeah.
Like, but like, either way, whatever the outscore is gonna be, I think you will root for the parent country, other than America. But you know the U.S. is gonna win.
Okay, but if there's an Argentina versus U.S. soccer game at the Rose Bowl, right? It's gonna be 80-20 Argentina fans.
For sure.
Because if it's Argentina versus U.S. in the Olympics in whatever. Staples Center or whatever, it's not going to be 80-20 Argentina.
Yeah, because
it's different.
Besides soccer, the U.S. runs every sport.
Right, it's different. Yeah. So it has to do with the U.S. We're not a soccer country yet. So I think that
I think that will go to even to the women's soccer side. If El Salvador USA plays, even though I know the U.S. is probably the best team, I'm going for El Salvador.
Right, but I think that crowd is going to be much more balanced or U.S. biased than if it was going to be El Salvador, the men's El
Salvador. I'll have to look into like the games because I feel like it's pretty similar.
I've been to a few U.S. I guess the ones I went to were it was Korea and then New Zealand.
Koreans be getting out there for their national team.
They do. And there's a good like a very like solid Korean population here in LA. We hang out with a bunch of them. But I mean, at that, I don't know. It's different on the women's side than it is on the men's. Yeah. I feel like it's two different sports. Just like you can't make like inter sport comparisons because it's different. But for each sport,
I think like the non soccer fan that is non like does not really watch soccer growing up.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter where their parents from. They're gonna go for the U.S. just because they just don't know any better. But like the fans that grew up watching since as a child, like. We started idolizing Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, and we started going for these teams, Vinicius, whatever. We started going for these teams because we become fans of the player, opposed to the national team. And then
I think there's just a lot more heritage and history in these other sports with these other national teams than there is in the U.S. And so there's a lot more storytelling. There's a lot more heritage that goes into that versus like if it's basketball or even baseball. Like if it's a Mexico versus a U.S. baseball game, there's gonna be a lot of Mexico fans there.
Way more Mexico fans.
But it's not gonna be 70-30 Mexico to U.S. because I think there's still gonna be a lot of U.S. fans there because there's a connection to America and baseball.
I feel like that Dodger hat and that Mexican baseball hat.
Mexican baseball hat is all over the place.
It's all over the place. That M like
the M. That's a fire hat.
That's a fire hat. I feel like that gets rocked as much as out here, especially in LA. I don't know about it. It's here in LA, it gets rocked as much as Dodger hats.
But I think still it would be much more balanced for baseball than it would be for a soccer game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're like, U.S. soccer gets criticized for putting these games in Ohio or, Minnesota. But
you can't put it in diverse cities because, like, the turnout would be.
That's the thing. But I think you still need to put it in these diverse cities because you want to give these kids a chance. Like you saw the kid take the Mexico scarf off and put the America. Like that stuff's awesome.
That makes a fan like that nostalgic moment when you get up. Like even though my parents are Mexican, I'm gonna go for the U.S. because I remember that Tyler Adams going that final
exactly
that rocket. Nostalgia is what brings fans back coming, especially for that national team.
Yeah,
you can be horrible, but. Nostalgia plays a big factor.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts before we wrap things up?
Man. LA Galaxy, shout out to you.
they just keep balling. I mean, Marco Reus.
Oh, man. You guys are freaking killing
it. Making moves.
LAFC stepping
every,
up.
Every move that LAFC's made, LA Galaxy is just counting.
This chess game is crazy.
Yep. It's going to be a crazy summer.
This July is going to be great for LA.
Yeah. We'll see. It's going to be fun. All right, Julio. This has been a great episode. We got more coming up for y'all in the next coming week. So we hope that you stick with us through this incredible summer of soccer that we have coming up.
Party bus.
But this has been another episode of the Urban Bitch Podcast, Beautiful Game of Life, part of the Believe Network. For Julio Monterosa, I'm Ramsey Abushala. We'll see y'all next week.
We out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.